following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, Studio A, where we're at here in East Park. It's been a busy little studio here of late. Even though the radio station's not in here anymore, which, you know, the wife and I were talking about that. She was like, "I'm so glad now that that's not a thing." I think now I probably would not have allowed that. She's right. You know, it's like having circus animals come in and out of your house every day, which is kind of what it was. And now we've got circus animals coming down to the into the broadcast basement dungeon thing deal over at the Emmons building, which is fine. It's out of the house. It's all good and groovy. But, you know, such as it is, it's been busy because I was a guest on an upcoming episode of Heavyweight Chumps. Yeah, these two guys, they're from the wrestling business, and they wanted me to come on. At first, I was like, I don't know anything about wrestling. What do you want? Turns out they wanted to talk about my career and the things that I had done and seen and places that I have been. And that's all great. So it was a fine time. I spoke with them for a while. There's a good bit of it that won't hit the air because we talked a lot about some other stuff. You know, it'll be fun to see what those guys put together. And for those of you who are hip, the Heavyweight Chumps themselves are going to be a guest on this program coming up pretty soon. I think we're going to be taping toward the end of the month. So there is that. That's coming up. And of course, next week we've got a guest on the program as well. So lots of fun stuff is happening. So there you go. Coming up, we're going to get into, some stuff, an idea, a thought that I had. Will expand upon. I wanted to come across. I wanted to at least mention this, and I wanted to get into this a little bit. There's a question I think that all of us here in the United States, specifically, probably have from time to time. Is that why is it that a bit on Saturday Night Live makes the news? Why does that happen? You know, why is it there is someone who feels that what Saturday Night Live is doing is somehow relevant to anything of what we're talking about? So I think it's a valid question, really. The show, of course, started out as some sort of a weird type of satire, sketch comedy stuff. It pulled from current events, you know, and it's always done that kind of thing. And it launched a lot of careers a long time ago. Nowadays, I couldn't even tell you the last time I sat through an episode of it, but although I can tell you that when I did, it didn't last long. I wasn't there long enough to. I couldn't stomach it. It was just so poorly executed. I can see where some of the ideas seemed to be kind of cool and groovy and fun, but you know, and the way it was written, not so much. And then it just kind of, I don't know, devolves there on the air. It's an interesting institution. It has been around a long, long time. Lorne Michaels, of course, launching this back in the 70s. And that first cast was huge. And a lot of it is what people think, well, nothing will ever be like that. And to a point, they're correct. And I always think that these people will, you know, they launched all these great careers. Let's keep in mind, at that point, too, Saturday Night Live was so new that everything they did was relevant. Everything they did, everything they touched had some type of meaning or realism to it. And it was clever. It was fun. It was goofy. It was silly. It was what it was supposed to be. Now it's devolved so much into political stuff, and they're reaching too far into pop culture to try and do a thing with it. But it never fails that when an episode airs, there the next day there's some news aggregator that will have, hey, this is what was on there. What was the reaction of people to this, that, or the other of what they did? And I fail to understand why that is somehow newsworthy. But then again, we live in a time where we question a lot of things that are newsworthy. So you know, in one hand, out the other, you just kind of have to sort it out, I suppose. If you like the show, I guess great. You've got a different sense of humor than I do. You certainly have a lot more patience than I do. But there it is. That's it's kind of what it is. It's really all I really wanted to mention about that. But you know, we got other stuff to get into, and we'll do so right after this from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Those of you who are fans of streaming television, the Netflix, the Hulu, the whatever's out there, the Amazon, all that stuff out there, I'm one of those people too. I cut the cable a long time ago. And I did so knowing that at the time, it's an economic decision really, because why were we spending the ridiculous amount of money for cable television? And it keeps going up every month, it seems, and not really getting anything that we really wanted out of it. It's just a thing that happens. And there were a lot of people that thought like I did, and there was whole groups of people that were like, oh, we're going to join the cord cutter movement, and we're just going to, you know, give the man the finger, and we're going to move along. And it gave rise to the streaming services, which is fantastic. It really is. We live in a world where we should have options. We shouldn't be spoon-fed certain things. You have to have this. You have to have that. There's a problem now that we're seeing, and this is predicted. This was something that we saw a long time ago. I knew it when it was going to happen. But apparently, online streaming is about to get a lot worse, and it's going to start looking more and more like cable television. And that's a thing, you know. Granted, you're going to have your menu. You can pick and choose what you want, right? So for example, you got, like, for us, we have a Roku system, and with that we have the Netflix, the Hulu, and the Amazon, and that's plenty. And all the, you know, there's a ton of free channels and stuff. There's enough television to watch for, you know, at the end of time. And on top of that, we have Sling that we use. Sling is kind of like cable television in reality. It's like 20 channels, I guess, what it is. And you get, you know, the stuff that you want. And that's, it has significantly reduced our television bill, if you will. But now we're starting to see more and more of other outlets that are going to be pulling their stuff away from other outlets where you could naturally get it. Let's take a look at CBS. That's a good example. CBS was they've got their thing now where you can watch their, I think it's CBS All Access, and you pay like $8 a month, and you're sitting there thinking, well, it's just $8 a month. It's not so bad. So off you go, and you're watching the CBS shows, and you have all access to all that kind of stuff, which is fine. Disney is now doing the same thing. They're pulling all of their products out of Netflix and Hulu, and they're starting their own thing, if they haven't already. So you'll have all of those movies and whatnot right there on the spot. So that's like $7 or $8 a month. So you think, oh, that's not so bad. Well, next thing you know, you've got like 40 of these things that you watch for like $7 a month, and now you're back up to $300 a month in what you used to spend in cable television. Hell, even cable TV, I think it was Xfinity, Comcast, if you will. They said, hey, yeah, cut the cable. We don't care. We're going to give you your content anyway. And our package deal, if you subscribe to our internet deal, then you can get this for an additional $25-$30 a month. And we'll hook up with, you know, and so now you're back to square one again. This does not shock me in the least. It really does. Because this is what we've all wanted, right? We've all wanted the a la carte television. I remember this discussion 10, 15, 20 years ago. People saying, man, why do I have to pay, you know, X number of dollars for my cable subscription when I don't watch but maybe a third of those channels? And you try and talk to these people about it, and like, no, this is the deal you got to do. And it put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, because then it felt like you were over a barrel. You had no choice. You had nothing to go with. And so along, of course, comes the cable cutters, and they say, look, you know, get an over-the-air antenna, which we have. You get a bunch of channels that way, and there's plenty of stuff there. You got all your network stuff there. And then you got your – and we have a TiVo, so we could DVR it if need be, which is fine. It suits our needs. And then you have your other stuff. But now, if there's something specific that you want to watch, you've got to pay the premium for it. You got to pay these, you know, you got to pay that monthly, and it adds up. It adds up like crazy. And now they're going to start bundling all that together. So if you want to watch CBS, the CBS All Access or whatever the hell that is, they're gonna ram down your throat everything else that they've got, and they're gonna charge you more for it. So now you're back to square one. You're back in that same boat again. And this is what happens when an industry like that goes unchecked, right? FCC doesn't control it, and dear God, we don't want them to do that. But what ultimately happens is the corporations wind up getting back into your pocket again for their whatever their nefarious reasons are. And just because you think you're cutting the corners and you're having a good time with it, you say, I feel like I'm cheating the system here. I got a pretty good deal. Everything's great. And then you find yourself wondering, what the hell? You know, Netflix, I just got the notice, they raised their rates like $2. And then Hulu sent me a notice that they're lowering theirs by $2. So that kind of balances out, because Hulu's over there trying to play catch up. And they're doing a pretty good job. Hulu's got some pretty good stuff on there. I kind of dig it. Their user interface blows, but still, there's still plenty of options. Boy, howdy, you want to watch a property that's owned by Disney, and you're going to pay premium for that. And look, Disney owns, and this is no joke, this is no exaggeration, they own nearly two-thirds of all of the entertainment options that are out there. It's staggering to me how big this has gotten. It really is. It's massive. And people lining up to go get it, man. They are just lining up. Speaking of which, I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm a little over the whole Marvel movie thing. I gave up on that a long, long time ago. These big CGI popcorn jerk fest. That's all it is. I know a lot of you like that stuff. That's great. That's fine. Me, not so much. I usually like a story that's got, you know, character and story and, you know, plot. You know, something a little more realistic to it than that. But there again, that's just me. Of course, I can't tell you the last time I've been in a movie theater. And I tell you, and the reason for that is a lot of the same reasons for a lot of you don't go to the movie theaters as well, is because of the too many distractions that exist. You got some jackass sitting in front of you on their damn mobile phone, sending text messages everywhere they go, taking selfies and, you know, just cutting up, yapping through the movie. Yeah, you know, come on. So I've paid how much for this privilege? And it, God help you, if you want to go to the snack bar, you gotta pay this ridiculous amounts for candy or popcorn or a soda or whatnot. It's, you know, it's tough. I get it. The home theater experience is far better because, in, you know, and that's what we do here. And actually it works with our schedules a lot better. So, you know. Whatever. Speaking of streaming, this is a thing too. The world apparently is turning against live streaming. And what I mean by that is not the cable cutter thing like I spoke of. What they're really upset about is the ability of you and I and the neighbor and everybody with a smartphone to be able to just start broadcasting live. And the problem that is, in the past, it's been, I talk about like it's been around forever, but it's only been around for just a few years. But the idea of live streaming, if someone's live, it's like this show. They're just sitting there just running their mouths for a few minutes and they're talking about something, or they're going, hey, check this out. I got this in the mail. I wanted to share it with you. And they do like the unboxing thing, and it's, you know, it's kind of cool. Or, you know, maybe somebody has been standing on the side of the road talking to a friend when the house across the street catches on fire, and they've got their phone and go, hey, check it out. They're live streaming a house fire. That's a thing. But when Christchurch in New Zealand had that mass shooting at the mosque, there were 29 people that got killed there. The guy that was the trigger man on all this, the guy with the gun, live streamed that event. And it freaked out a lot of people. Not just the people that came across that video or witnessed it, or it got shared and people captured it and saved it because they knew that social media platforms were going to pull it down, but they kept spreading it back around again. And I think it's finally been sort of snuffed out because, you know, thankfully, it seems most people are pretty reasonable and don't want to see that. They really don't. So in light of this, the Australian government has recently passed a law, or they got one on the table at the very least, that would hold Facebook, Instagrams, you know, all of the social media platforms, it would hold them accountable for allowing raw, unfiltered video to be released to the public. That is censorship, I'll give you that. First and foremost, that's Australia. Okay, I understand. Here in the States, I don't know that you could get away with that. They have to put the thing on there that says, hey, this is some sensitive content. If you choose to see it, we're not responsible. You can uncover the video, blah, 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 which is fine. I see that every once in a while on my Facebook feed, and I choose not to look at it. I just, you know, I have that option. I don't need to see all that. We live in a world where these sorts of horrific things are happening all the time. But in an odd turn of events, in a situation, on June 22nd, 2016, according to The Verge, Democrats in the House of Representatives staged a sit-in on the floor of Congress days before a man had murdered 49 people and injured 53 others in the shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, and Democrats organized a protest in an effort to pass gun control legislation. Now, Republicans, hoping to reduce the impact of the Democrats' publicity stunt, ordered C-SPAN not to turn on its cameras and broadcast the protest. But, this is important, Democrats didn't need a broadcasting partner. They had smartphones. Periscope and Facebook Live, which had both been introduced within the past year, allowed members of Congress and broadcast the protest themselves. But something else happened. C-SPAN cleverly rebroadcast those streams, and the incident garnered outsized national attention, if sadly no action for the Democrats' cause. And in the aftermath of the stunt, Republicans passed new rules banning the taking of photographs and videos on the House floor. Anyone who violated the rules would now be subject to a fine, which was a tool meant to democratize broadcasting, had been blunted by the democracy itself. How about that? And now Australia is considering hefty fines and even jail time for executives at social media companies who fail to remove violent content quickly. The proposal is one that the most sweeping crackdowns on tech companies' content moderation efforts that policymakers in a democratic government have ever considered. You know, this is something too. I see these people in social media, specifically on Facebook, and they'll say, "Oh, you know, you can't censor me. Because of I have the right to free speech." Yes, you do have the right to free speech. You can go stand on a street corner somewhere, or in a park, or wherever you can get away with it, and run your mouth and say whatever the hell you want to. Facebook is a free service; it doesn't cost you anything to use. You have to agree to their terms and conditions, though, which is a fun read. But you have to agree to those terms and conditions. And one of those terms and conditions, they can pull your shit down. We talked about this last week with the Alex Jones thing. Because Facebook and YouTube kicked that weirdo off of their platform. That's their decision. The followers are going, oh, this is a violation of free speech. You can't do this. Well, sure they can. It's their platform. They can do whatever the hell they want to. You're guaranteed free speech in public. But you're also held at the liberty of the platform by which you use. Sure, like I said, I can stand on a street corner and spout whatever it is I want to spout, such as it is. Does it really matter? Can I get away with it? Sure, I can do whatever I want. Is there anything about that is illegal? No, of course not. I can, like I said, I can say whatever I want. I have to endure the repercussions of the public that I might piss off along the way, but nevertheless, it's free speech. I can say those same things on this platform. Podbean, for example, that hosts this show. If they don't like what I'm doing, or if they don't like what I'm saying, if I'm promoting hate speech, or if I'm doing something along those lines, they have the right to kick me off of their format. Go, oh, it's a violation. No, it's not. If I felt that strongly about it, I could start up my own system, put it on there and adjust my own terms and service and terms and conditions that people agree to, and just put it out there. Look what's happening to YouTube right now. It's all about that is all about money and copyright strikes and all the bullshit that's going on with that. Whew, Lord have mercy, as the bottom's going to fall out of that can here pretty fast. But as I said, the point being is that you have to you have to understand that by right of your ability to have free speech doesn't guarantee you the ability to do it based upon the platform that you're on. Therefore, when in Australia, they're thinking about proposing even jail time for executives of social media for allowing this stuff to be broadcast, and I think in some certain aspects, is somewhat reasonable. Many years ago, I worked in television, and I was always taught that, and this is the way television news and the process by which you would do this. This is how this would be taught. This is how it would work. And it's this. There are certain things that you do and do not, right? And you look at television news now, and it's silly. The reporter, the journalist is never part of the story. That's part of the rules. They're unwritten, mind you, but that's just one of the rules. I see that violated constantly. It's a joke. A news anchor or a reporter should never use the words, I think. I think this. I think that. In reality, nobody gives a shit what you think. You report what you see. You report what you heard. You verify the information that you've gathered, and you deliver that in a concise manner to your public. That's the responsibility. We've gotten so far away from that, it's not even worth, you know, going too much farther down that rabbit hole. And I know some people that are in the business, and I know that they're very good at what they do, because being a reporter in this day and age is rather difficult, especially when you've got what's going on in Washington, where you've got a man in the White House who believes that the God's awful truth comes straight from straight from Fox. And you know, look, Fox is Fox. I get it. They're in it for the money. They know they've got a solid base that they can speak to. They don't have to worry about appealing to both sides if they've got one side firmly in their pocket. Because once you start appealing to both sides, that's going to fluctuate some. They're going to say, well, you know, hey, this particular guy may be kind of honest about what he talks about, and he is presenting both sides of the case, but I don't like him. Because of, you know, he goes against my personal ideas. But then again, the next week he says something, and says, I agree with him now. That's the whole point of being fair and balanced. Which is a laugh that Fox even uses those words. But nevertheless, you have to keep in mind that the ability to maintain a middle-of-the-road approach to anything is a tough road. And when you're talking about stuff like social media and the broadcast of these videos, even in television news, you didn't broadcast stories about suicide of the common guy. You didn't. All right, some guy steps out onto a railroad track intentionally to get hit by a train, and he's dead. It's an amusing way to die, if not messy. But nevertheless, that sort of thing doesn't make the news, because the reason behind that, and maybe you're not aware of this, but it could be an attempt to become famous. And there are people who think like that. They think, oh, this is how I'm going to be famous. I'll just take myself out and everybody will be talking about me forever, which that doesn't happen that way. Suicide by the general public is just one of those things you don't broadcast. You know, if there was a traffic situation, some guy jumped off of an overpass onto the freeway, and it locked up traffic for a while, then you kind of have to talk about it, but you never give the guy's name. Or the lady's name. You never do that. You never do that. It just glorifies it. So with now the whole world being as unfiltered as it is, it's incumbent upon us as the consumer to have some type of judgment as to whether or not we want to see this on an individual level. Now, part of me sits here and goes, if I don't want to see this, I shouldn't have to see it. I shouldn't have to have it rammed down my throat. And hence, I think Facebook does a pretty fair job of saying, look, this is a bit of content that contains some graphicness or some seriousness to it. That's a problem. And if you want to see it, we'll let you see it. But, you know, you got to know what you're getting into first, instead of them just saying, you're not going to see this ever. And there's, trust me, in the world that I live in, and as much news and stuff as I go through and the things that I have seen, yes, it is very true. There are some things out there that you can never unsee. And like I said, you have to be very careful. You really do. But should a government have the right to take that ability away from you? I don't know. I think it's a bit much. I understand Australia's point here about, you know, considering these hefty fines and jail time for executives at these companies. But they did. They gave themselves an out. Who failed to remove violent content quickly? I don't know that they can do that. I think if they shelter it, they can certainly do that. But there again lies the other problem: when you have this raw, unfiltered news that is being thrust upon us at every turn in our lives, how much of it does become real, and thus the much hated term of fake news? Because that's out there too. I see it a lot. It's just stuff that they generate just for the traffic. That's all it is. And it's unfortunate. It really is. And you just have to, you have to try and be reasonable about it. That's why, there's been talk for a long time that people have been, deleting their Facebook accounts. And as it turns out, that's not so much the case. They lose a few, but, they're holding steady. Was it like half the planet has a Facebook account? It's like 3 billion, something like that. It's pretty substantial. Think about that. That's pretty freaking substantial. And everybody is saying everything at the same time. And what are you getting? What do you have? What do you got to work with? It does become, I think we're going to get to this point here, especially in the internet, in the world of social media specifically, which I think is really kind of a disease. I think Linus Torvalds, he's the guy that created the Linux program, Linus Torvalds. He has said that social media is a disease, and I think he is. I think he's correct, because it does affect people in very odd and strange and unsatisfying ways. But, there again, it was bound to happen. We're all just, a bunch of unfiltered, blathering idiots. And there's a world that happens here on the internet, and there's a world that happens in reality. And you know what we have found out? The world that happens in reality doesn't really share a whole heck of a lot of what is happening in social media. They are two vastly different worlds. I mean, because it's been given rise to this new affliction now that psychologists are calling FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. Apparently, if you have a proclivity to depression, the last thing you want to do is scan through Facebook. Because you're seeing now these people living their lives and you're wondering, well, I feel like I'm missing out. I'm just not that kind of a person. I should be out there. I should be out there doing stuff, but I can't. And then I'm now just even further more depressed. That's what happens. I know that when I'm particularly pissed off about something, or if I'm angry about something, or if I just got the blues, like, we all do. We all get that every once in a while. And I sit there and I go through my Facebook feed sometimes. It's like, Jesus Christ. Really? Log out. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go have some fun. Let's go outside. Let me take the dog to the park. Let me go for a walk. And then you find you're talking to people outside in the real world and you realize that it's not so bad. It really isn't, because I do believe social media specifically, and I think the internet is really, is party to this, even though it is just a platform. I think it amplifies negativity. I do believe that. I think when you look at it as a whole, yeah, there's some happy places to go in social media. Sure, there's all sorts of fun places that you can go and see things and do things and play games. And, you can escape from the reality for a little bit without getting, overly depressed about much of anything. But where that exists is only there. It doesn't exist in the real world. And this bridging of the gap, and I'll save this for another talk, but the bridging of the gap between reality and the digital world is called virtual reality. And now there's augmented reality, which allows you to play a game using your phone and the camera on the other side of your phone to show little creatures that aren't really there. And if you've got a proclivity to have any type of mental illness, that could really fuck you up. I know it sounds kind of funny, but I didn't mean to be glib about it, but that's kind of what it is. So, look, my advice to you, take it all with a grain of salt. Keep everything in its proper perspective. Keep everything in its proper place. And then you find out, life's not so bad. I'm fortunate enough to be able to go and meet people and talk to them in person and have a cold beer with them and shoot the shit and just We don't talk too much about the internet. We really don't. It's where I work. It's where you are. It's where you're getting this. You know, is it that we should all turn away from it? Nah, it's impossible. The toothpaste is out of the tube. We're going to have to deal with it. It's here in our lives forever. Is it to our detriment? Maybe. Is it to our overall growth as society? Maybe. Depends on how you approach it. Depends on how you use it as a proper tool that it is. You know, it's one of those things.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet. Let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
It is somewhat amusing to me to find out, Joe, when you see these posts about, hey, you're eating a banana wrong, or you've been tying your shoelaces wrong the whole time, or did you know that Kool-Aid could clean your toilet? First of all, I have problems with that, because who the hell thought that it was okay to clean your toilet with a fruited, powdery drink mix? How desperate were you that you didn't go to the dollar store and picked up a dollar's worth of Comet to clean your freaking commode instead? Hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to dump some Kool-Aid in here and run the old brush. I think it's... What the fuck are you people spreading that shit around for? Because it's not real. Yeah, when somebody tells you you've been doing something wrong the whole time, it's an insult. It's like the people that send out the chain emails that said, this is your required reading. Fuck you. I'm not required to do anything. Lord have mercy, it's the kind of stuff that'd give a guy a stroke.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Yeah, buddy, you've heard what's coming up next time on the old program. Mr. Jerry Dye, along with Marie Stefan Bernard, also on the program, going to be talking about a pretty cool project. We had Marie on before. If you want to go back a few episodes, you can find it and listen to her speak of her life from growing up in Paris to coming to Memphis. And now she's turning all of that into this wonderful musical, and that's going to be fun. That's also next week on the program. So I'm looking forward to that. We're gonna be down in Studio C for that one. So that'll be fun. Back in that room again, and you know, just doing things, stuff happening. Coming up also, the heavyweight chumps will be coming up a little bit later on toward the end of the month. That'll be here on this program. I made an appearance on theirs. The heavyweight chumps. Look them up. Dig their. If you're a wrestling fan, you'll find it highly amusing. One of them calls the other Thunder Cookies. Makes me a little nervous, I think, but still, it's amusing. They're good fellas, and they have a lot of fun with it. So that is that's there. I'll let you know when that happens. So. Just find me on the social media if you want, if you dare to look. And look, I don't post much of anything. I promote stuff on the station, but I don't get into opinionated pieces or stuff like that. Now on Twitter, I may crack a joke about something, but it's even few and far between as it is. I'm more of what they call a lurker. I like lurking. I like just hanging in the shadows, watching you people do what it is that you do, and I judge every last stinking one of you. That's what I do. I gotta go. I got someplace to be. Until next time, please take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.